I think here it is. And if I take too deep a breath, I might wince a little bit. So don't panic. This morning, if I don't get through this whole lesson, since I'll be speaking again on the 31st, we'll finish it. But, oh, and there goes my page. So, this morning, I'd like to look at some songs in the song book. One we sing pretty regularly for the Lord's Supper. And, you know, the background to some of these songs is pretty interesting. One that I came in contact with was young, pretty old. I'm not going to say early in my naval career. It's during my chief's initiation, I had to look up the history and the background of the Navy hymn. The Navy hymn is actually called Eternal Father, Strong to Save. And it was written in 1869. By Reverend David Marks, and he wrote that while at the Naval Academy for the mariners who prepared to go to sea. So the song later became the Navy's hymn. It was FDR's favorite hymn, and it was the hymn that was played during the funeral of JFK. So it's pretty popular hymn. JFK, as you know or don't know, he was in the Navy. The Star Spangled Banner. How many of you have ever sang the last verse of the Star Spangled Banner or even know what it is? Francis Scott Key, when he wrote it, the last stanza is, "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. The conqueror we must, then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God we trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free, and the home of the brave." We all know the first verse, but rarely do we ever sing the last verse. This morning, there's a hymn, number 297 in the red book. It's 163 in the blue book. And it's a song that was written by if I can get his name right, John Raynell Rayford. He was an Englishman, and he was, I remember how to do this. It's When My Love for Christ Grows Weak. And I'd like to read all five stanzas, and then I'd like to take this song and kind of break it down in the phrases. Beginning in verse 1, when my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades, while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, Hill of Calvary, I go to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his faith, love triumphant still in death. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. No one knows exactly why John Rayford wrote these words, but they have a lot of meaning, And normally we sing this for the Lord's Supper because it really applies. In verses 1 and 2, it talks about Christ's love for us. And in verses 3 and 4, it talks about our fellow man, how our faith in him grows weak. And then the verse 5 is kind of a conclusion. So I'd like to take a look at verses 1 and 2. When my love for Christ grows weak. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he who believes on him will have eternal life. And it's the fundamental quality of our salvation. And we are continually reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that he demonstrated his love, that Jesus was sent to this earth to die on the cross, according to Romans 5, 8, and 9. I'm not going to read all these passages. They're here for if you want to look at them or read them. Furthermore, Jesus loved us, which was demonstrated by his coming to the earth, and that he also died on the cross, according to John 15, 13, and Philippians 2, 5, 8. It shows that he came to this earth to die on the cross. And Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8. Oh, gave it all, I think, right? Changed the... Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, Philippians tells us, by this we know, or John, 1 John 3:15 tells us, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we are reminded of the importance of loving God. In 1 John 4:19, he says that we love him because he first loved us. And by loving and serving God can weaken. We look to Revelation 2, verse 4, we see that the church there at Ephesus had left their first love, and that was Christ. And Jesus warned in Matthew 24, 12, that because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. And while clearly dealing with that time, Jesus emphasizes the possibility of that happening. And we know it does. From time to time, serving God and our Lord becomes monotonous. And we don't just have the fervor we ought to have. Sometimes we become discouraged and frustrated. And these are the very circumstances probably that face most of us, if not all of us, at times. And such prompted Paul to say, let us not grow weary while doing good, for due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6, 9. When for deeper faith I seek. Along with flickering embers, we often examine ourselves and find that our faith, trust believing in God, is not as strong as it ought to be. As life hammers away at us and Satan does his job by beating us down, we might question ourselves. We might question our faith. When we fail, whether it be to some sin in our life, or our inability to convict the soul of someone that we've taught, we can become discouraged and we desire stronger faith. So what do? The words, then I thought I go to the Garden of Gethsemane. After instituting the Lord's Supper and giving his farewell admonition to his apostles in John 17 and also Matthew 26, 37, he went to the garden to pray. And Jesus, and while with his apostles, Jesus told them that they would betray him, including Peter. And in the garden, they fell asleep while he prayed. And there I walk amid the shades while lingering twilight fades. This is a picture that may not be literal today, but in our minds we can picture Jesus walking in the garden and see that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. In the garden, Jesus prayed to the Father, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me," according to Matthew 26, verse 38. And then he prayed three times, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Mark tells us that after his first prayer, he went a little further and he fell on the ground in Mark 14, 36. And Luke 22, 44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great droplets of blood falling down onto the ground." Why so much agony, we ask? Well, Jesus was about to suffer a barbaric death, one which his friends would betray and abandon him. And betrayed by one of the 12, he was denied by his closest friend, Peter, and then blasphemed by his heretics. This would lead to a most torturous death. We can't really imagine the suffering and the persecution he went through on that day. We can only imagine it. But in reality, it was very barbaric and very torturous. He was beaten, scourged, put a crown of thorns on his head, and then to be led out and hung on a tree, having his hands nailed on a board, and then lifted up, and usually they dropped it in a hole. They didn't set it down gently. They dropped it, forcing the body down, pulling on the tendons against those nails. Does what he asked of us compare to what he did for us? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalms 116, verse 2. And how can we repay him? The answer is that we can't. Luke 17, 10 tells us, when we have done all that we are commanded, we still say we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do, but we can give him our best and we can seek him first. And returning to the garden and to the cross, renew our perspectives. Verses 3 and 4, I got ahead of myself. Three and four, when my love for man grows weak. You know, this past week, we've had several tragedies. We had several killed in France. There was a coup in Turkey that killed 184 people. 6,000 are detained. It's easy to lose faith in our man, in our fellow man. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he answered, "Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself," Matthew 22, 37 through 39. And verses 1 and 2 of this song deal with loving God. And verses 3 and 4 deal with loving our neighbor. We have to care about others. And we can see that this past week that there are those who didn't care about others, who don't care about others, only in their own agenda. The souls of our neighbors and friends ought to be on our minds. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11. In Acts 17, Paul's spirit was provoked while he was waiting for in Athens for his companions. It says that his soul was provoked. And in 2 Peter 2, 8, in Sodom, Lot's righteous soul was vexed. And it's demonstrated in the way I treat my brethren. We are told to love one another. Romans 12, verses 10. 12:10. I'll read that. I have to use one of these electronic devices, because holding my Bible right now is not a good thing. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And over in 1 Peter, the 1:22. Says, since you have been in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. We are to fervently love one another. And if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. But from time to time, this love can grow weak too, and to overcome it with selflessness and indifference. And what happens? I need to turn to the cross and be reminded of that Jesus died for me and my sins. And when my faith grows weak, we need a deeper faith, we need a stronger faith. Hill of Calvary I go. In the scenes of fear and woe. The word Calvary is only found in Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 33. And that's only in the King James and the New King James. The actual Greek word there is cranion, and it means the skull, which is how it's translated in all of the versions. But we know that the word references the place where Jesus died. Versions use Golgotha, and the place of the skull is used. Calvary is a later Latin word meaning skull. To thy scenes of fear and woe. Before the Jewish and Roman leaders, Jesus maintained his composure. As he stood before Pilate, being falsely accused, he didn't resist. He was slapped and mocked. He was beaten, and at the command of Pilate, which was a form of severe punishment within itself, often designed to prepare the body for death, he was scourged and a thorn of crowns put on him. And after he was condemned by Pilate, some seven times declared that Jesus was not worthy of death. He turned him over to the soldiers, put a robe on him and a crown of thorns, and a reed in his hand, and mockingly bowed before him. Hail, King of the Jews. And all this was before they led him away to be crucified. Picture what Jesus endured for us. In Hebrews 5:8, he says he learned these things through obedience by the things he suffered. And on the cross, Jesus demonstrated his faith. It is seen in his saying in Luke 23:34, as he was being crucified, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And to the thief, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise," in Luke 23:43. And as he was about to die, he said, "It is finished," in John 19:30. And in Luke 23:46, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And we think of so many things Jesus endured on the cross. Let's not forget his faith. What an example we have when we face trials and troubles in this life is to think on these, think on Jesus, think on his death and what he suffered and endured for us. It says, "Then to life I turn again with resolve." In verse 5, what do we learn? Well, we learn that it says, "Learning with all the worth of pain." Chances are we will not suffer as our Lord. We will probably not come close to the anguish he endured for us. But having said that, life is tough. And there's a lot of other ways that we face temptations, disappointment, and pain. Discouragement, struggle, uncertainty, and failures. These things happen, but they don't determine who we are. How we deal with them does. Pain and trials can either defeat us or make us better. What doesn't kill us will make us stronger. And in Romans 5, 3-5, he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Learning all the might that lies in a self-sacrifice tells us to follow him. We must deny ourselves. Romans 12:1-2 calls for us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, transformed by the renewing of our minds. And one thing that we can learn is that as children of God, we may have to surrender ourselves to him if there is to be any hope. And trying to serve God and mammon will not work. We're told in Matthew 6:24 that you can't serve two masters. Godly attitudes only come when we are godly, which means we are serving God. I hope that by looking at this song, we get a better understanding of it, and that we, as we sing it, will remember the words, listen to the words, so that we have a better and stronger faith in Christ. And even though our fellow man is not always that good to us, we still need to trust the brethren and love one another. Patrick's got a song, 483. We'll stand and sing that at this time.